I want to look at a few verses this morning to start off. I've been preaching a series on the ills of America, problems that we face as a nation. And it does no good to stick your head in the sand when there are sins, they need to be addressed. It could be one of the reasons why our nation, morally and spiritually, is in the shape that it's in, is because of cowardly preachers who won't preach against sin and preach the gospel as it is outlined in the Word of God. Isaiah 58 says, "Cry aloud, spare not, show my people their sins." And I believe we have a command from the Scripture to reprove, rebuke, to cry out against injustice, ungodliness, and unbelief. At the core of our problems is a failure to acknowledge the authority of God's Word and regard the Holy Scriptures as our moral authority for all faith and practice. In fact, the Bible makes it clear all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And then he goes right into chapter 4 of 2 Timothy, and Paul charges Timothy, "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at the appearing and His kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come, and I fear we're there, when they will not endure sound doctrine, but will, after their own lusts, heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables." Every problem, every ill that we face in America can be traced back to a failure to believe God, to obey God, to live according to His Word. Now turn over with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Today I'm going to address some of the economic and educational ills. First Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 11 says, "And that ye study to be quiet, to do your own business, and to work with your own hands, as we commanded you, that ye may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that ye may have lack of nothing." Here is a biblical principle. Do your own work, mind your own business, live a quiet and a peaceable life. What happens if you don't follow that? Well, turn over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 10. By the way, we're living in a day and age where everybody puts their business out on social media. And what it's led to is everybody getting up in your business. They find out that you're a believer in Jesus Christ, that you're not going along with the homosexual agenda, that you believe in creation, that there's only one way to heaven. Guess what? They're not going to mind their own business. They're going to cancel you. That's what's happening in our nation. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. It says in verse 10, "For even when we were with you this, we commanded you that if any would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now them that are such, we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. But ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. And if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man, and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. Yet count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother." You know, there was a time in America when people believed that they had the responsibility to work. Whether it be a mom in the home, taking care of her husband, her children, managing the home, or a dad that maybe farmed or worked out in the field or worked at the factory. America has been known since its inception as a nation that works. And why is that? Biblical principles that we were founded upon. And it's shameful. If a man is healthy and capable to not work. In fact, Paul said, neither let him eat. I think it was Benjamin Franklin that said the best way to get people to get out of poverty is let them miss a few meals because they're not working. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 8 says, "But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel." Somewhere along the line, the message has been abandoned by many people in our nation. And I think it was even the last year and a half has been an economic disaster for the United States of America. And the sad thing is that we brought it on ourselves. Harvard just recently did a study about the lockdowns. The lockdowns really didn't mitigate any spread of the disease. They just delayed it a little bit. If you remember, a lot of people got sick who were locked down. But it also killed the heart of America. Small business. They were destroyed in a lot of states by government mandate. And here's what's seriously wrong about this. Is guess who it affected the most? people of lower income. They lost so much. Small business owners lost. But guess who gained? The elites. The last recession we had with the housing bubble that was brought on by poor lending practices put in place by a presidential administration. You can't lend money to people who can't pay it back. It's an economic reality. If you lend to somebody that can't pay it back, eventually you're going to have the whole bubble burst. That's what happened. Well, folks, when you shut down your country but keep Walmart and Amazon and big tech and big government, all those were open. But you had governors and mayors of states and cities saying you small businesses can't be open. Well, people could get sick at Walmart just like they could get sick at a small business. None of that made any sense to me. But it's still going on in some places. And as a result, the workforce has been decimated. We've been paying people not to go to work. And there's 9.3 million jobs available, but people are making more from unemployment and the added benefit. And you know, that's not American. It's not biblical. So what we had, and I believe this is an economic ill, the rich keep getting richer, and the poor keep getting poorer, and that's exactly the setup of socialism and Marxism. They want it to appear as though everybody's going to be equal. The new word is equity. Well, never has been, never will be an equality of outcomes because people are different. Some people are willing to work 20 hours a day to make lots of money. Other people want to go to an 8-to-5 job and they're content with what they have and God bless them. But I don't think you ought to steal money from people that are making it in order to pay those who aren't working. That's not biblical. It's not scriptural. And it's led to serious economic problems. We've been printing money for years and giving it away. I want to go on record. I know I've gone on record before. I don't believe the federal government should print money and give it to people willy-nilly. I didn't miss a day of work during the lockdown. Now sometimes I did it from my kitchen table. But none of my kids. They all continued working. Because they were taught to work. I was thinking back about old members that have gone on to be with the Lord. And I thought about what would Jim and Bernice Rickard think? What would Max and Louise Pemberton think? What would Brother and Sister Balmer think? What would Ralph and Irma Early think? I just think about some old members that I pastored. That people that work for a living, that raise their children in the fear and the admonition of the Lord, taught them how to work, to see that mindset being completely obliterated in the day and age in which we live. Well, folks, it's not hard to see, hard to figure out. You can look at Venezuela. You can look at Germany when they printed a bunch of money after the First World War. You can look at Greece. You print a bunch of money. You have high unemployment. You're giving stuff away. Guess what's going to happen? Terrible inflation. Now we're just... our inflation is nothing compared to what it may be. Let's give you an idea. And I'm a regular guy. All right? I buy everything on sale. Or marked down. That's how I roll. When I go to food fair, I will never pick out a $15 steak. I'm going to wait till it's a little green on the edges. And it's in that section down there where they put it in the corner because they really don't want people to see it. That's what I'm going to buy. I'm going to clean it up. Now, this is an old trick of meat cutters. All you got to do is wash it up, season it up real good, and nobody will be the worse for it. But the real kicker for me is Food Fair was selling their ground chuck for $2.99 a pound, and they ground it fresh. This is not a commercial for Food Fair because I'm mad at them right now. You know what they've raised the price to? Food Fair, are you listening? It went from $2.99 for a 3-pound pack to $4.59 a pound. That's a $1.60 hike in price. Well, you know what? I ain't going to buy it unless it's marked down. And listen, if you're trying to cut corners, I'm telling you, do not buy 73%. I know what goes in it. I was a meat cutter for years. It's light colored. You know, you ever seen it at the store? Look, there's a reason why it's that light. It ain't got a whole lot of good stuff in there. Inflation. That's not the worst of it. Lumber. Building supplies. This is what happens when you put policies in place that destroy an economy. Another ill economically is we have too much dependence on foreign labor and productivity. We've got to get back to producing things in America and stop farming out jobs to slave labor in China. I don't think we should be supporting the communist regime at all. But there are leaders, I don't call politicians, who have sold us out. And they, folks, I hate to burst your bubble, but they're both parties have sold America out to the Chinese. Rising prices, inflation, too much dependent on foreign labor and productivity. But here's something that needs to be addressed. People are way too covetous. I mean, we've seen 3 generations since World War II where in order to keep up with the Joneses or the Bills or the Pembertons, everybody in the family, mom and dad, are going out to make a buck, and the kids are left to be raised in a... They want universal daycare now to start at 3 years old. That's not right. That's not morally right to separate children from their parents at that young of an age. But it's due to covetousness. and the lack of contentment. I really believe that the Bible says that covetousness is idolatry. When we put things ahead of God, and we're instructed possessions and material things. When you do that as a family and as a nation, when money becomes more important than God, it's idolatry. And I believe we're reaping many of the consequences of what we've sown. The Bible says this. Again, I'm just going back to what the Bible says. Telling you what the Scripture says, and then pointing out where we have departed. And then realizing, figuring out why we're where we're at. Well, the Bible says this. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 5. Perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. But who are the most popular people in America today? People that are making a lot of money. Celebrities. People worship celebrities. You think about it, the Kardashians have built billions with an S, empire, just on things that are just influencing people. A reality show. Billions. And people want to be like them. I mean, it was so troubled that the whole Kardashian myth, it got Bruce Jenner to change. I mean, that's how bad it was, man. He had to change. I don't believe that in all that nonsense, but people are following celebrities rather than God. Where it says, rather than following them and embracing them, withdraw from them. Yet people are taking their economic advice from celebrities. But it says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. All of us have that. In fact, I'd say everybody in America has something to eat and clothes to wear. And yet you hear people bellyache all the time that they're oppressed, that they're not as wealthy as the guy that has this color skin or that person. We've lost a sense of contentment in God's provision. And it's ruining people. It's ruining families. It says in verse 9, but they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil. Doesn't say money is, but the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. There's a lack of contentment in our nation. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5, let your conversation, your way of life, be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have, for He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. We ought to be thankful for what we do have. I've never had a lot of money. I don't figure on dying with a lot of money. But I've never wanted for anything. I've been gainfully employed in some venture, one venture or another, probably since I was 10 or 12 years old. I've been working. And my dad worked 80 hours a week so my mom could stay home with the kids, with our family. I came from a meat cutter's family. So, you know, my stomach is a lot different than most people's. I've learned to eat the old meat and produce that was starting to turn a little bit. And it's given me a lot. I got so many antibodies as a result. Thanks, Mom and Dad. But we were raised to be thankful for what we had and to eat whatever was put before us. And I think we're losing that today. A lot of parents are spoiling their kids. And that means they're making them rotten. If you're not teaching your kids financial responsibility and the profitability of labor and the gaining of a reward, you're going to raise brats that are going to be looking for handouts. And I fear that that's what's happening in America today. I don't believe it. I don't believe in that. I don't believe God will bless that. Our economic woes can be traced back to rebellion, immorality. God will not prosper a nation that is in direct opposition to His ways. God won't bless a people who do not recognize Him as the source of provision and wealth. The Bible says, Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18, "But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is He that giveth thee power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant, which He sware unto his fathers, as it is this day. And it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day that ye shall surely perish, as the nations which the Lord destroyed before your face, so shall ye perish, because ye would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God." Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18 through 20. It's a lesson. What God told Israel can definitely be applied in our present day. Now, what happens when people don't want to work? They're not taught to work. Eventually, what happens when you run out of money? People start stealing. It's human nature. Now, right now, we're living in a society that is actually justifying theft. You know, in California, there are laws on the books that if you steal less than $1,000 of merchandise, you'll not be prosecuted. The Bible says, "Thou shalt not steal." Do you believe that? So what happens? Well, people are going in, they're looting Walgreens, Walmart, Target, Gucci, and then they're taking that merchandise and they're selling it. on the black market. And the justification is, well, they need to get there some way or another. Get yours by working, not by stealing. It's sin. It's wrong. And what's sad is our government, there are lawmakers encouraging that and justifying it. I wish we'd go back to the blue laws where everything's closed on Sunday. I tell you, our nation would be so much better off if everybody had a day of rest. Because it's biblical. I'm just going to spend a few minutes on the educational ills of America. And let me state this clearly. Turn to Proverbs chapter 1. I believe that all education should begin with this basic premise. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy neck, under thy head, and chains about thy neck. Notice, the most fundamental, the most foundational instruction of our children should start in the home with mom and dad. You know what's happening in America? Moms and dads are so glued to their iPhones, their iPads, their games, their interests. They don't have any time at all to educate their children, to bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And when they do send them to school without any moral foundation at home, they often act out. I don't know how people in large city schools like Chicago, New York, where there's virtually no male presence in homes anymore. People want to know why we're in such a mess. If you don't have a dad and a mom in the home, you're headed for trouble. When you break up that foundational teaching from a mom and a dad, you're headed for trouble. It's not hard. And that's exactly what's happened. But kids act out. They have no respect for authority. Our schools have fully embraced evolution. Oh, come on, preacher. Hey, everybody, we're such a minority. I don't care. Your kids all over the world are being taught that Genesis 1:1 is a farce. And that they just evolved from a random mass of slime. And that basically they're just animals. I don't believe we're animals. I believe that we are created by God. That all life is precious. But you think about it. Since our country embraced evolution in the early 1900s, not long after that, prayer, Ten Commandments, Bible reading was taken out of the schools. Then you had the 60s, the sexual immoral revolution, the 70s and the 80s, where we've come so far away from God today, kids don't have any moral training or teaching. They don't get it from school. They don't get it from home. Sadly, they get a lot of it from the internet. Sexual immorality. I mean, whether you like it or not, don't put your head in the sand. The LGBTQ, all the other letters, that is an agenda that's being pushed along with evolution. The new thing is critical race theory, which is really just an outgrowth of Marxist critical theory, where you look at a certain people and the color of their skin as the oppressor, and people of this color skin as the oppressed. You know what? They're teaching kids to hate each other. I saw a clip of a black man stand up at a school meeting and he said, "You're teaching my..." He's married to a white woman. "You're teaching my child that I'm to hate their mother and that they're to hate their mother." Because it really is a message of hate. Critical race theory. And intersectionality. These are words that you may not even have any frame of reference, but it all has to do with the scale of oppression. And that's what... It's what it does is, we're teaching kids that they have no responsibility. That if they fail, it must be because of the system. Instead of, look at what you're doing. And if you're doing something wrong, correct it. But you teach evolution. You teach sexual immorality. When I was a kid, I don't remember hardly ever anybody talking about sex. I never heard the word sexual orientation. But the Bible has been banished. You know, schools like Harvard and Yale, they were founded by Bible believers to teach people and train people for the ministry. Our colleges now are hotbeds of the theories of Karl Marx, socialism, communism. The Bible says, "Whoso despiseth the word shall be destroyed, but he that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded." Jeremiah 8:9, "The wise men are ashamed, they are dismayed and taken. Lo, they have rejected the word of the Lord. And what wisdom is in them?" Now all the blame for our educational woes can't be blamed on the system. Americans have allowed the federal government to exercise too much control over local schools. And Americans no longer see the necessity of educating their children. The Bible says this. Again, this is what the Bible says. "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up." I'd say a majority of children in our country never see their parents ever crack open a Bible. Many parents are too busy fulfilling their own desires and interests to spend any time training and educating their own children about what's right. And until Americans see the danger of rejecting God and His Word, our education system will continue to be a mess. And I'm telling you something. Whoever has your children has the country. Whoever is indoctrinating, it's why we've got to the place where they said 43% of millennials don't know, don't care if there's a God. You see, we've allowed the godless to have more influence than the godly. And we're reaping what we've sown as a nation. I pray that God will help us to see what's happening. God's the only hope. I'm going to tell you something. You attend Mount Pleasant Missionary Baptist Church, you better be teaching your kids the truth. You better be teaching your grandkids by the way you live your life what's right and what's true, and have influence on them. And if your kids go to the government school, work with the teachers. Try your best to be an influence there as well. Because not everybody can homeschool. Not everybody can afford private school. And if that's the case, you better make your voice heard in your local school. May God help us. Let's all stand.